one of the most important things to me is to always say what is right about the Lord. You know, in the religious culture that we live in America, it's kind of gotten to the place where, well, everybody can just have their own version of who God is. And I just want to encourage you, we need to know him as the one true God and know who he truly is. Anything less than that is not really God, but just a God of our own making. It's not really unlike the culture of the day in Athens when the Apostle Paul was there and they worshiped many gods, just all kinds of gods. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 17 and begin with verses 22 through 25. And there's some things here that we need to see, important things, but one thing in particular I want you to get this morning. So Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus. I'm going to learn to pronounce this. Areopagus. And he says, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." And I just have to stop right here because a lot of people in America, they say they're not religious, you know, because they don't go to church or something. But they are religious, even though they don't go to church. They have their own version of who God is, and they're religious. And it's the same today as it was in that culture where he says, "I see you're very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Now, at least some of these people had enough wisdom. They might not have known God, but at least they realized there was an unknown God, a God that was unknown to them. He says, "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." Now there's several powerful truths about the Lord here, but this morning I'm just going to focus on one. He is the giver of all things. He gives to all life, breath, and all things. It is his nature to give. And it's so important that we see our Heavenly Father as the giver of all things. If we learn to see him that way and think of him that way, it will cause our faith to grow, to rise to a new level. It will bring joy and excitement to our prayer life. And it will bring fresh life just to our walk with the Lord if we see him as the giver of all things. Everything we see in this world came from him. He's the one that gives life to everything. And he loves us. He is good to us. And he wants to bless us. He wants to give us good things. When we see him as this great giver, it will cause you to want to pray more. It will cause you to believe that God will answer your prayers. And it will cause you to be more thankful. Now, a lot of people in our world, they see God as a taker. And they say things like, "Well, you got to give up things. If you're going to serve God, you got to give things up." That's right. Yeah, you got to give up your bondage for freedom. You got to give up your stress for peace. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you have to give up. You got to give up your plan for his plan. You got to give up your life so you can have abundant life. But I'm just telling you, see, people have this attitude about the Lord and they don't see him right. And we need to learn to see the Lord as he truly is. By the way, I don't really see it as having to give things up. I see it as getting free from things. And we just need to know that God is a giver. He's not wanting to take away things from you and rip you off. That, you know, Satan has propagated this lie that the Lord takes good things away from you. In fact, a lot of people, they don't even believe in the devil anymore. Even some preacher standing in a pulpit saying that there's no Satan. I don't know what Bible these people read, but if you read the Bible, you know that there is a devil who is your adversary, and he is against you, and he wants to hurt you. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life. It's not God, it's Satan who wants to steal from people and kill and destroy. Jesus, the Bible says, came to destroy the works of the devil. And we just need to get this right, that our Heavenly Father is good, and He is the giver of all things. He's not the one who wants to take. Now, I know that it can be a complicated subject when you look at things like the story of Job, where Job lost everything, and Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But let me tell you what Job did when he lost everything. He worshiped God, and he trusted God no matter what. But if you look at the whole story of Job, and if you know the story, you know that that season of loss only lasted for a few months for Job. And then the Lord gave him, blessed him with twice what he had before. And after that, Job lived 140 years. I just want you to know that our God is a giver, and you can trust him. Even when there's hard times and hard places in life, you can trust God and keep on worshiping God, because he will show you how good he is. He will bless you. You know, when you read the Bible, you don't have to start reading very far into the scripture until you see that God is a giver. I like to do this sometimes because it just helps us realize when something's, you know, a big thing in the scripture. Well, it's in the very first chapter of the Bible you see that God is a giver. Genesis 1:29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. I mean, from the very beginning, God provided for Adam and Eve. He said, see, I've given you everything you need. I've given it to you. The last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2, it tells us in verse 12 that Jesus is going to give a reward to everyone according to what they have done. He's not going to give you what you've earned. He's going to give you a reward. Amen. But it's in the first chapter and the last chapter of the Bible. But, you know, in the beginning, everything that God made, he said, was good. But there was one thing that wasn't good. He said it's not good for man to be alone, and he made woman to be a companion for him. What a great idea. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Some of you guys, you should be saying amen. You're going to get in trouble when you get home. But Adam, he talks about that gift that the Lord gave to him, not so much in a good way. After the fall, in Genesis 3:12, he says, the woman you gave to be with me. He acknowledges that the Lord gave him this gift. But he says, she gave me of the tree and I ate. It's that old blame game, trying to pass the blame, you know, pass the buck. Our society is so good at it, but it's been going on a really long time. And I just want to say, don't blame your spouse. It's not going to work. But in a sense, Adam wasn't just blaming Eve. He was also blaming God, because he said, the woman you gave to me. And so I want to say this morning, I thank the Lord for the gift that he gave me in Carmen. I don't know how good of a pastor you got, but I want you to know you have a great pastor's wife. Amen. That's without controversy. But if you look in the scriptures and you read the Bible, now listen to me, if you start looking for this, you will see it over and over and over, that God is constantly giving, constantly throughout the scripture, you'll see that he's giving. And it brings him pleasure to give. You need to remember this. Your Heavenly Father enjoys giving. Luke 12:32, Jesus says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I'm not going to take time to teach about the kingdom this morning, but I just want you to understand when he says it is your Father's pleasure, let's just get this first. That means he enjoys it. He delights in it. He likes to do it. It is his pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's a whole lot. The kingdom is where he rules and reigns. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Listen, in the kingdom, there's no lack. There's no sin. There's no bondage. There's no sickness. I'm just telling you, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow, that's an amazing thing. And he delights to give us the kingdom. You know, the Lord doesn't always give us everything we want. Everybody that's ever prayed has figured that out. Amen? Amen. Some of you had never prayed. Some of you just quiet. But what we want isn't always a good thing. And here's the thing. Our Heavenly Father, he doesn't hold back good things from us. He delights in giving. He enjoys it. But we also need to know this, that every good gift came from him. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." See, every good gift, every perfect gift, those are the kind of gifts that God gives. And you just need to acknowledge they came from the Lord. It all came from God. He's a giver, and that doesn't change. It says there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. That means, you see, God doesn't change in the slightest. He is always loving. He is always good, and he is always a giver. It's who he is. It doesn't change. How seldom people don't really acknowledge that everything good in their life came from God, and we should. There's too much of this works mentality. I earned it. Whatever's good in my life, I earned it. I worked for it. I made the right choices. You better give God the glory instead. I'm just telling you. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that's what we need. Every good thing in our lives came from him. And the pride of man, it keeps you from being grateful. 1 Corinthians 4:7, "What do you have that you did not receive?" You see, ultimately, it all came from God. Ultimately, it was all his blessing. He takes pleasure in giving, and he gives extravagantly. You ever known somebody that just spent too much on gifts? You know, just extravagant. I heard this story about Arnold Palmer, and for some of you young people, Arnold Palmer used to be the most famous golfer. But just like a lot of superstars today, he had a lot of fans, and one of these fans wanted to buy him a gift, and he's telling Arnold Palmer, "You know, I want to get you a nice gift, whatever you want." And Arnold Palmer kept telling him, "No, I don't need anything. No, I don't need anything." He finally, he said, "Well, fine, you can buy me a nice golf club." The man went out and bought him a 200-acre golf club, a country club. That's an extravagant gift. But I want you to know that there is none more extravagant than our Heavenly Father. He has given to us the most extravagant gift ever. That's how all this Christmas giving got started, right? I mean, I know the world has commercialized it and carnal people have turned it into something that it wasn't really meant to be. But for us as believers, Christmas will always be about the giving of God's Son. It didn't start with St. Nicholas. It didn't even start with the wise men bringing their gifts. It started with our Heavenly Father God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The one who was born in the manger, he was born to die so that we might be reborn and live forever. Talked about this verse a few weeks ago, but 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You talk about extravagance. Oh, what he has done for us. Oh, what he has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. How could we ever doubt that he would give us good things when he has given us such an extravagant gift? Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What would he hold back from you when he has already given his own son for us? You see, that's the God we serve. We need to get this mindset, this mentality, this view of God, that this is who he is. He is an extravagant giver. He takes pleasure in giving. He wants to give good things to his people. It's one of the greatest promises of Scripture. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? It's one of those promises that, yes, people want to pull out of context and use it for some selfish, carnal desire, and it doesn't work that way. But we just need to realize there's not anything good that our Father won't give to us. He takes pleasure in giving to us. He enjoys giving to us. And listen to me, he wants us to enjoy what he gives to us. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Boy, the people in our world need to hear that. Nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now, he's talking about material wealth here. And I know when you talk about people being rich, most of us, we're thinking of Elon. But you just need to realize, if you go to a third world country, it's all relative, isn't it? I mean, if you spend some time in some third world countries, you'll realize how rich you are. In fact, if you just go back 100 or 200 years, you'll realize how rich you are. I mean, we live in air-conditioned houses, most of us, I think. Most of us, we rode in a car. Do you realize they never rode in a car? Even Solomon, in all of his ridiculous wealth, never sat in an air-conditioned house. And most of us haven't missed too many meals. I'm just saying, we're so much richer than we want to acknowledge. But what I really want you to see in this passage of Scripture is that we shouldn't look to money, we shouldn't look to material things as the source of our joy. We don't trust in those things. We trust in the Lord. And here's the thing I want you to see. He gives us richly all things. For what? To enjoy. He wants you to enjoy life. You know, there's a lot of sad, miserable, upset, angry people, been out of shape, never content because they always need something more so I could finally be happy. And I want you to hear me now. When I'm preaching this morning about God being a giver, I'm not talking about God giving you all the things that you covet after. I'm talking about something much better than that. I'm talking about him giving you all the things that will bring joy in your life. He gives you all things richly to enjoy. And yes, that includes your material needs and the things that God has in store for you. But you just need to understand, he wants you to enjoy. That's the God that we serve. You need to have that mental image, that in our heart, that our God, he gives us richly all things to enjoy. all things richly to enjoy. There's so many things that are more valuable, more meaningful, more precious than just material things. John 14, 27, Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." I want to tell you, there's a lot of people in this world that they may have money and all kinds of other things, but they don't have peace. Jesus gives us peace. In Luke 10, 19, Jesus says, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." That's something that will bring joy to your life, is knowing the devil, he can't get an advantage of you. You have power over him. He gives us living water that satisfies in John 4, 14. He gives us rest. Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. In Romans 5, 17, it tells us he gives us the gift of righteousness. Oh, what a gift this is, because our righteousness stinks. The Bible says it's filthy rags. None of us could ever be righteous before a holy God on our own. But he gives it to us as a gift. What a gift this is, to be able to come close to him, to walk into the throne room and to talk to your heavenly Father, knowing that he loves you and he's for you, that he'll hear your prayer and answer your prayer because you are righteous in his sight. And it was a gift he gave to you. He gives us his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a gift that he gives us to be righteous. And he gives us the gift of eternal life. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, even among Christians today, there's this attitude that, well, you know, if I'm a good person, and by good person, they mean, you know, 51% good. Like if I'm a little more good than bad, I go to heaven. Wrong, 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 wrong. There's no way you can be good enough to get into heaven. There's only one way you can get into heaven, and it is to receive the free gift provided to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, what a gift that we can be with him for all eternity. That's who our Father is. He is the giver of all things, and he gives liberally. He's not stingy. He doesn't hold back. He gives liberally. And we need to get our faith up. We need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. James 1, 5, if you ever needed some wisdom to do business, to raise kids, to drive a car in DFW, I wish some people would pray for wisdom. Anyway, James 1, 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally. Who's he give to? Well, this lucky person and that one over there. No, he gives to all liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't hold back, but he gives it to all without reproach. Let him ask of God, and it will be given him. See, he's not the God of just enough. No, he's the God of more than enough. He doesn't just give us life. He gives us abundant life. You know, when we tithe, he doesn't just bless us. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing we cannot contain. That's what the Bible says. He is just that kind of God. He doesn't just give us peace. He gives us peace that passes understanding, perfect peace. He doesn't just give us joy. He gives us unspeakable joy. He doesn't just give us enough to get by. He doesn't just fill your cup, but he fills it till it overflows. That's the God we serve. This is how he gives. Psalm 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. the desires of your heart, not just what you need, the desires of your heart. It's hard to delight yourself in a stingy God. You see, if you believe in a stingy God, you're not going to delight yourself in the Lord. It's easy to delight yourself in an extravagant God, a generous God. That's who He is. He wants to bless you, not just give you what you need, but to give you the desires of your heart. Now, I know, again, that a lot of people take these promises out of context and just do it, use it as another way to get what they covet after. But when you're doing that, you're not delighting yourself in the Lord, I'm just saying. And it's not the desires of your flesh, it's the desires of your heart. But God, He'll give you the desires of your heart when you delight yourself in Him. If we know that He's a giving God, the more we know that, the more we'll ask. The more that we'll go to Him in prayer, take advantage of the opportunity, the privilege that we have in prayer to go to God and to ask. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. This is what Jesus said. I know some of you are thinking, I don't know about that. This is what Jesus said. We need to get this mindset. We need to have this attitude towards our Father. Because I want to tell you, if we really believe what the Scripture says, we'll go to Him in prayer a whole lot more, do a whole lot more asking. And one thing I want to point out to you is that this word in the English, sometimes we don't get a clear picture here, but the word ask here, this verb, is a linear verb. It doesn't mean that you ask one time. See, sometimes people go to God and they ask and they say, well, He didn't do nothing. You ask. You keep asking. You keep believing. You don't stop believing. You keep asking. You keep believing. You're trusting God to answer. In verse 9, He says, what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Jesus says, if you then, being evil, and I know no earthly dad wants to bear that label, but you see, in comparison with our Heavenly Father, who are we? And if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father, get the right picture of Him, how much more will He give good gifts to those who ask? How much more? This is who He is. But we don't take His gifts for granted. We're supposed to ask. Here's one that I think a lot of people just take for granted. Luke 11:13. Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? See, a lot of people believe in the Holy Spirit, but they've never asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone the Lord calls. The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Again, you can't earn it. It's just a gift that our Heavenly Father gives to us. But Jesus said, to those who ask. It's important that we know that He's a giving God. So we'll ask. But it's also important that we know He's a giving God so that we'll believe. You got to believe when you ask. The main reason that more prayers aren't answered is that they're not prayed in faith. You ever prayed a prayer and just kind of been surprised that God answered? I mean, in His mercy and grace, He answered even though you didn't believe. It's like the town that got together to pray for rain. Only one little girl showed up with an umbrella. They didn't expect God to answer. But I'm just telling you, we need to have this attitude that my Father, He gives good gifts to those who ask. He delights. He wants to be extravagant. He wants to bless me. He takes pleasure in it. You see, if we have that mindset, then when we pray, we're going to believe. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. So important that we see our Father this way. Now, we read James 1:5 a few minutes ago. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But I want to keep going. He says, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. If you're going to get to the place where you can get the doubt out of your heart and mind, I'm telling you, you're going to have this mindset about who he is. That he is a giver. That he wants to give you good things. Example, when you go to God and you ask him for wisdom, you ask him for direction or guidance in your life, you actually believe he's going to give it to you. You don't doubt, and you don't look at the circumstances of life. You say, well, nothing's changed. You don't look at the wind and the waves. You keep your eyes on him. He says, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. It's harsh, isn't it? It's truth. It's truth that people in the church world today need to hear. That when we just are back and forth in our faith, we don't know. We don't know if God's going to answer. We don't know if he's that good. We don't know if he really wants to bless us that way. Back and forth. Let me tell you how you can stop being back and forth. Get this mindset. My Father, he's the giver of all things. He gives all things richly for us to enjoy. He wants to bless us. But he goes on and he says, let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Don't be double-minded. Settle it in your heart and your mind that he is a giver. That's what he does. It's who he is. That's not going to change. He's the giver of all things, and he wants us to be givers. Not going to take an offering. Not trying to get you to give to the church. Really not. But God wants us to be givers. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You can't outgive God. Might be fun to try, but you can't. And I want to tell you, we should give to God. But we should also give to others and just be a blessing to others. I think the people of God ought to be known as a generous people. We ought to be known as being different. We're not just trying to get, but we want to be generous. We want to help other people. And when we do that, we're acting like our Father. Giving is part of our new nature. 2 Peter 1:3-4, it says, as his divine power has given to us. Does everybody see that word in there? I'm just telling you, you start looking, you see this all through the scripture. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know what that says? He's given us everything that we need to live this life. Everything we need. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. All the promises of the word of God, he's given to us so that we could be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers of his divine nature. That's who we are. As born again children of God, we are to be partakers of his divine nature. And what is he like? He's a giver. He takes pleasure in it. He delights to do it. And you know what? I think that we experience that in our own lives. Many times when we give to others, we experience that joy of giving, not just receiving, but giving. In Matthew 10, when Jesus sends the disciples out in ministry, he says, it's verse 8, he says, "Freely you have received, freely give." So, have you ever re-gifted a gift? I know Carmen and I have, because when we got married, I think we got 5 crock pots. It was a thing back then. And I know we didn't keep 5 crock pots. We didn't have room for 5 crock pots. So I know we re-gifted some of those. And, you know, sometimes in the world, they kind of act like, oh, that's not a good thing. You re-gifted something. But let me tell you something. Every child of God, we've got some things we need to re-gift. You see, if you're born again, you've got something that you need to share with other people. If you've ever been healed, you've got something you need to share with other people. If you've ever been set free from an addiction, you've got something to share with other people. Freely you've received, now freely give. But I'll tell you, our Father wants us to be like Him and to be givers. And when we do that, it brings greater blessing in our lives. Acts 20 and 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." More blessed. Oh, it's fun to receive. It's even better to give. More blessed to give than to receive. I believe it's something that God put on the inside of us, that there's a pleasure that comes from giving. I think when you're a little kid, maybe that's not true. They don't really understand. They don't really get it. But as we grow up, we realize that there's a joy in giving. It's part of the fun, the joy of Christmas, is giving gifts to our loved ones. And we see that they're pleased or excited about that gift, and it makes us feel good. I mean, it's one of the reasons it's so fun to give gifts to children, is because we see their faces light up. We see the excitement, even though it may only last for 15 seconds and they move on to something else. But we enjoy that. You know, kids have a hard time waiting for Christmas. They want to get those gifts. I got to tell you, I have a hard time waiting for Christmas and birthdays because I want to give. I can't wait to give my sweet wife a gift. I gave her one yesterday. I always cheat. But she's like a kid. She always reacts in a way that just brings me joy. But you know, I grew up with a mom and dad that always were good to us. And over the years, I probably bought them a lot of worthless gifts. I think when I was 6 or 7, I bought my mom a special pen. I thought it was really cool because it looked like a cigar. But you pull it apart, it was actually a pen. And I thought that was so awesome. But after I grew up and, you know, made a little more money than I had to have to get by, I bought my dad a nice gift. I bought him a watch. And I still to this day, I remember that he was moved by that. And that brought me a whole different kind of joy to see that. And I'm just telling you, see, our Heavenly Father, He delights. He takes pleasure in giving. And we experience that too when we allow God to just give us that freedom, that liberality, that generosity of spirit to be like our Father and to give to others, just be a blessing to others. Our God, He's the giver of all things. He gave His Son for us. How could we ever give Him less than our best? How could we ever not be willing to to give him our all. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for prayer partners to come.